You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. And joining me, as always, is Billboard's deputy editor digital, Katie Atkinson. Hello.
Hey, Keith.
We're back in LA together.
Back in the same room.
Yes.
What do you know?
It took a couple weeks, but we are back physically in the same space together, though we've been together on the show for the past 2 weeks.
In spirit,
yes. Last week I was in New York, and the week before that I was in London. You were here.
Yeah. I've been here.
Yeah, you've done been here. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got news about the Met Gala and all the news that came out of that. Boy, howdy, was there a bunch of stuff. Christina Aguilera's new single. We got Janet Jackson news, plus chart headlines about Post Malone, Camila Cabello. Why do I always just choke on her name? And NSYNC.
Plus, we have an interview with Tova Styrka. We chatted with the Swedish singer-songwriter about touring with Lorde and Katy Perry, her just-released album Sway, and much more, so stick around for that.
We may have talked about ABBA, too.
Maybe.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss a single episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
So let's hit some of the biggest news over on Billboard.com. The biggest news seemed to have come from the Met Gala, which went down Monday night in New York.
And how convenient, we're actually recording the show on a Tuesday morning instead of on a Monday, so it worked out.
Yeah, that's right. So this is brand new news.
We totally planned this just around the Met Gala.
A lot of music headlines came out of the event, so let's just hit this artist by artist here, starting with Nicki Minaj. She announced her new album called Queen is coming on June 15th.
Appropriate. Queen.
Yeah. And, you know, people have been talking about whether that's a reference to, you know, the dominance of other female MCs and her wanting to kind of establish herself as queen of the lady rappers.
Oh, that's dumb.
There actually was a photo of her with Cardi B. Chatting at the Met Gala.
They did a song together last year. It was a top 10 hit.
They did. Although there was an interview since then where there was a lot of drama about that song. Yeah, the interview she did with Zane Lowe referenced how she didn't really care for the response from Cardi and Offset after that song came out.
Which is Motorsport, by the way, is the song we're talking about.
There is, you know, stuff in the air, but obviously they also are friendly and hang out at the Met Gala. You know, it's all good. Speaking of other ladies that Nicki has collaborated with,
the
before,
true queen.
She referenced a secret project with Madonna on the red carpet.
The queen of pop.
Speaking of Madonna, she also was at the Met Gala. She performed Like a Prayer appropriately for the Heavenly Bodies, Fashion, and the Catholic Imagination theme of the night. And she also appropriately did a cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. I think you mentioned that she might have maybe given a taste of a new song, possibly as well.
Someone on Twitter,
a Twitter person,
some random person on Twitter posted a clip, because there is no official video of the performance that she did, which looked pretty freaking elaborate. I mean, there is like a 40-second sort of supercut.
Had to have Madonna perform with this theme, obviously.
I mean, she's only been employing Catholicism into her career since she basically started.
Since she began.
Yeah. I mean, Like a Prayer.
Well, since she was born.
Since
her name was Madonna.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was like a 40-second video of the performance, but it was like a full sort of elaborate performance with dancers and a sort of a choir that looked like monks and lots of dancing. It looked like ballerinas and a costume change and the whole, I mean, it was like a full-on production. But somewhere in there was maybe a snippet of a new song because there were lyrics that fans didn't recognize. Ooh. So people are unsure if that's maybe a new song from the new album. Is it a teaser of the first single because she is working on new music? We don't know.
We don't know. No. What we do know is that 2 Chainz proposed to his wife, yes, his wife, Keisha Ward, on the red carpet.
Wait, they were already married?
Yes.
Oh.
They've been married since 2013, but she got a brand new ring. And he got down on his knee, and he proposed.
Oh, I was confused by that. Mm-hmm. When I was watching E!, like, suddenly he's on his knees and giving her a ring, and she's like, I got a ring!
Yeah.
And all the reporters who don't know 2 Chainz and his wife would just assume that it was a proposal.
Sure, and it was, of sorts, and maybe they'll do a vow renewal or something, but she did get a brand new diamond. They have 3 children together and have been married since 2013, so... they are not engaged now. I don't really know.
Maybe it's just a.
It was a gesture.
Yeah, nice.
Shawn Mendes made his red carpet debut with his longtime rumored girlfriend Hailey Baldwin, and another new couple that showed up together.
Sure.
Was Grimes with Tesla founder Elon Musk?
Who knew?
The Met Gala. I mean,
Someone tweeted a headline, and it was like a British publication that said, you know, who was Hailey Baldwin's, who's Shawn Mendes? Basically, like, as if, like, Hailey Baldwin was, like, the bigger person. Is she?
She's a very famous model, but Shawn Mendes.
Is she, like, super famous in the UK?
Not that I know of. I mean, she is a Baldwin. Like, she's not British. She's the daughter of, I believe, Stephen Baldwin.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. So she's the niece of Alec Baldwin.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did not
know. And she's a famous celebrity in the sense, like, she I believe, dated Justin Bieber previously. She is very much in the circle of the Jenner Kardashians. She is friends of Kendall.
Well, thank God I looked to you for all of this information, because I did not know who she... I mean, I'd heard her name in the ether, but I didn't know really who she was. But yeah, that is, like, super shady. It's like, Shawn Mendes.
I mean, I'm sure in certain circles, fashion circles, perhaps, Hailey would
be
the bigger
name. But it wasn't a fashion
magazine.
It was like... No. It was like
it's definitely just shade then, because Shawn Mendes is very famous.
Yeah. He didn't really sort of employ the theme of the evening in his outfit. You know, the men kind of didn't really.
Yeah.
Jared Leto did.
Chadwick Boseman had like a fantastic cape.
It was very Catholicism goes Wakanda.
Yeah. Yes.
And Nick Jonas was sort of looking like, you know, hot priest remake. Hot priest. Let's remake the Thornbirds.
And
outfit.
He rode the subway to get there. On Twitter, I learned that.
Wow.
I could go on and on. I mean, Ariana Grande was there. Rihanna, of course.
Rihanna was one of the co-chairs of the evening.
Honestly, there's like a million, you know, go look at the photos on billboard.com. There's 1,000 people you should see.
Yeah.
Moving on to Christina Aguilera.
Xtina.
She will drop her 6th studio album, Liberation, on June 15th.
Wow, it's a week of Queens that week.
I believe one of Kanye's Good Music things coming out that day, too. So, yeah, get ready for that, charts team.
Yeah, it might be Teyana Taylor is that week.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, Christina's 15-track effort, which was executive produced by the singer and features the first single, The High Energy Accelerate, with Ty Dolla $ign and 2 Chainz. The new album follows a 6-year break since 2012's Lotus. And in addition to the 2 features on Accelerate, the album also includes a duet with Demi Lovato on Fall in Love. And it was just announced on Tuesday that the pair will perform together at the Billboard Music Awards on May 20th.
How convenient. I knew we were going to be talking about this, so I quickly checked to see how the song was doing on Top 40 Radio. Accelerate, okay. That is. And the song came out last Thursday.
Yes.
And so it would have had the weekend to build up airplay to debut on our Pop Songs Airplay chart. And it didn't debut on the Pop Songs Airplay chart, which is a little curious. And only 12 stations played it, actually, in the tracking week that ended this past Sunday.
So not setting the radio on fire yet.
Not yet. And it seems like a curiously low number, but I kind of thought maybe it was a song that they didn't actually send to radio.
Mm.
Like, maybe it's just like, here's a track with a video to sort of whet your appetite.
And get you excited for the album.
Yeah,
and we should also mention she's on the cover of Billboard magazine.
Yes.
And there's a fantastic cover story that you all should go read yes. on billboard.com.
Also, I was going to say, I think maybe the Demi track is the track that's actually going to be the single.
Yeah.
Since they're performing it on the Billboard Awards.
Yeah. And I mean, why wouldn't it be? Like, right. Christina and Demi. Like, this is very exciting.
Two of the biggest female voices in pop music.
Hey, you know who another big female voice in pop music is?
I don't know who.
Janet Jackson.
Oh, Miss Jackson, if you nasty.
Back to the BBMAs. Janet will be receiving the Icon Award at the show, and she'll be performing.
Which is crazy.
I mean, can we talk about, like, the female, like, energy at this show? Like, Kelly Clarkson is hosting and performing also.
Camila.
There's
Dua Lipa.
There's so much happening and so many divas at this show.
Ooh. But I'm excited because, I can't actually say what I'm excited about because I know something that we haven't announced yet.
Uh-oh.
But yeah.
Let's not talk about it yet. Maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
I'm so
sorry.
Or maybe we'll talk about it after May 20th.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But you do have some fun facts about Janet and why yes. she is an icon.
Yeah, I won't tell you everything, but here's some highlights. And I did some fast math. Not really fast. It took me a little while to figure this one out. Janet has had more than 100 number ones on Billboard's charts throughout her career.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Spending more than 300 weeks at number one. Those 100 number ones, you know, obviously could be like, oh, when Miss You Much hit number one on both the R&B chart and the Hot 100.
Sure.
That counts as two.
Sure.
But whatever. It's still more than 100.
Yeah.
She's had 7 number one albums on the Billboard 200. She's one of only 4 acts with a number one album on the Billboard 200 in each of the last 4 decades.
Wow.
In the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. She joins just Barbra Streisand, U2, and Bruce Springsteen.
Good company.
She's had 40 hits on the Billboard Hot 100, including 10 number ones, which is nuts. And incredibly, she had a record 18 consecutive top 10 hits on the Hot 100. No one else has been able to string together 18 consecutive top 10 hits, and I don't think anyone ever will be able to do that again, considering the way streaming works and how the chart works now. Those are just a few of the amazing chart facts about why we are honoring Janet as our icon.
Janet. Keith has met Janet. Can we just talk about that for a brief second? If you've listened to the podcast,
we've already gone on about that. I'm not going to do it again.
But, like, let's just say Keith's met Janet.
And Katie and I both might have the opportunity to actually see Janet in person because we'll both be at the Billboard Music Awards covering it for Billboard.
Yes. Yes. Please stay tuned. We'll be having our preview episode next week, hopefully with an exciting guest to be announced. And we'll also talk about our coverage of it the week after as well. So lots of exciting podcasts coming. And the Billboard Music Awards air live from Las Vegas on Sunday, May 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC.
Let's go over 3 of the biggest chart headlines right now, according to me.
That was great. According to Keith.
Katie was a little bit giggly about
really
that.
I really enjoyed that.
Well, Post Malone's second album, Beer Bongs and Bentleys, makes a big debut at number one on the Billboard 200 chart, scoring both the artist's first number one, the year's biggest debut, and a record-breaking streaming week for the set. So that's not really both. That's actually 3 things. Not both. Sorry. Grammar. It earned 461,000 equivalent album units in the week ending May 3rd, according to Nielsen Music. And of that sum, 288,000 were in streaming equivalent album units. And here we go with the math. As each of those units equals 1,500 on-demand audio streams, the album actually racked up 431.3 million streams for its tracks in its debut week, and that's a record. That surpasses the previous high set by the debut week of Drake's More Life, which tallied 384.8 million streams a little over a year ago. We are in a streaming world. So streaming world right now.
Get used to it.
Get used to it. Post Malone's album is so big, it will likely hold in the number one spot for a second week, though it's a bit early to tell just how big it will be in its second week. Though stay tuned to Billboard.com for further updates and forecasts. Next, over on the Billboard Hot 100, as Drake's Nice For What spends a 4th week at number one, friend of the podcast, Camila Cabello, scores her 3rd top 10 as a soloist, as Never Be The Same shoots 13-6 in the wake of a release of a new remix of the track featuring rising country star Kane Brown. We actually combine all versions of the track for our charts. So in total, the song sold 51,000 downloads and jumps 10-1 on the digital song sales chart, holds at number 4 on the radio songs chart, and re-enters the streaming songs chart at number 48. Camila previously hit the top 10 with Havana, which reached number one, and Bad Things with Machine Gun Kelly, which peaked at number four.
I feel like she has to be pretty excited about this one, because it's, you know, I think she's talked a lot on Twitter about her being especially proud of this song.
Hmm.
So for it to be a top 10, pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's, well, also, Camila's pretty awesome in general.
Yeah, we like Camila.
She'll be at the Billboard Music Awards, too.
Yeah, she will.
Yeah. Lastly, and Katie will love this news, streams of NSYNC's music jumped 176% in the U.S. in the wake of the group's reunion at the Hollywood Walk of Fame Star Ceremony on April 30th, and the yearly viral meme, It's Gonna Be May.
Hmm.
Which is, of course, derived from the act's number one Billboard Hot 100 hit single, It's Gonna Be Me. According to Nielsen Music, the quintet's tunes collected 1.54 million on-demand audio and video streams on April 30th and May 1st. Now, April 30th is the day where everyone talks about It's Gonna Be May tomorrow. And then May 1st is now It's May, and that's why everyone's streaming it.
And it also, April 30th was the day of the star ceremony.
Which was streamed live on the web.
Yes.
So that certainly helped it. And also just people talking about NSYNC back together. It's the first time people have seen all five of them together since 2013. Kind of a big deal.
And JC even got on the mic and said, it's gonna be May. Clearly they couldn't get Justin up there to do it.
No. So yeah, they had 1.54 million streams on April 30th and May 1st. That was up 176% compared to the previous 2 days, April 28th and 29th, when their songs had 557,000 streams. And it, of course, should come as no surprise that their most streamed song on April 30th and May 1st was It's Gonna Be May. It accounted for 1.1 million of the 1.54 million streams. So that's pretty cool.
Really enjoying all this NSYNC mania. It was very fun.
Did you go to the pop-up?
I did not get to the pop-up. I was very nervous about like how crazy it was going to be. I heard just tales of crazy long lines.
Okay, yeah.
But I did stream the entire ceremony, and it's so fun to see them together again.
Yeah. Well,
is it time for our interview with Tova Styrka?
Yes, I believe so.
So the Swedish singer-songwriter came into the office way back in March. So you'll notice some things we talk about that, you know, have not yet happened at that point and now have since happened in this month and a half.
Well, we held on to it to this week for a particular reason.
Yes,
Katie will tell you in just a second.
Yes, we did. So back in March, she talked about hitting the road with Lorde on her Sense Wrapped Melodrama World Tour. And then she also talked about joining Katy Perry on her upcoming European tour, which launches at the end of this month. Plus, her new album Sway just came out on Friday, and we talked all about her new music and how she became interested in music as a kid and some of the Swedish pop stars who provided some inspiration.
Hmm.
So here is our interview with Tova Styrka.
Say my name, wear it out like a sweater that you look, 'cause I can't get enough when you say my name, spill it out like a drink you should have skipped.
Hello to Tova Styrka, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh yeah. My God, thanks for coming in. We're actually talking to you the day after you opened for Lorde at Staples Center in LA.
Yes.
For the Melodrama Tour. So now that you have a few dates of the tour under your belt, what has it been like so far?
It's been such an amazing experience. Oh my God, this is the first time I play in arenas. It's crazy.
No pressure.
But so much people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like I've gotten so many new fans through doing this, and I mean Ella is the sweetest person, the whole team, the whole machine, this crew, it's just the most fun.
Since this is the first time playing in venues this big, in such massive arenas, you know, what is it like for you both, you know, with the vibe of the audience and also just, you know, sort of for technical things, like, you know, the way your voice travels in an arena versus a tiny little club? Like, how has it been getting used to that?
Yeah, it's special. But I mean, also, I mean, when you look at the room, it makes sense that it will bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, it kind of still works. Mm-hmm. Like mentally, you sort of just like translate it and it works. But yeah, we've had some issues. I mean, like, and it's a far, it's like if something is not working on stage, is like the person who needs to fix it, they need to like run a distance
right.
To come there and like fix it. So, but yeah.
How have the fans been, you know, responding, you know, to you on stage?
They've been so great. Like, I actually, like, I think it was the third show or something like that. I was tweeting with some girls, and we decided that, like, let's meet up at, like, the merch, because they really wanted to just hang and say hi, and I love doing that, and I usually do it on my own shows. I just go out in the audience and hang with them, because my fans are the best. So I went out to that merch stand, and I expected, like, yeah, five people, and it was, like, the longest line.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and it's so crazy, because that's both people who have known about me for maybe 3 or 4 or even 5 years, and some people who looked me up for this, and some people who just saw the concert and liked it, and now they're like friends.
You have like different levels of fans now.
Yeah, and I think it's so cool that, like, I think that's how a like going as a support, like an opening act, that's how it's sort of supposed to work.
Yeah.
But it almost never does. But this, it feels like it's a really good fit.
It's probably because yours and Lorde's audiences probably overlap, like, a bit, I would say.
I think they do. Like, yeah.
That makes sense. And are you planning to do that anymore? Go to the merch stands? Or is it maybe a little bit overwhelming for the future tour dates?
No, I mean, I've been doing it ever since. I couldn't do LA due to, like, my schedule and stuff, but I that's been almost as fun as performing.
What about looking out at the audience? Are you able to, like, connect with them in that big of a space? You know, like you can in a club or a bar? Or...
Yeah, I mean, like, because usually, like, the guards aren't as strict for the support acts, so people can actually, like, walk up to the front, to the stage. So, like, many of the nights I had, like, a little crowd up front.
Oh, that's good. Who, like, and then they go back to their seats for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
So that way, it seems like it's like you've got your own little mosh pit happening.
Yeah.
Exactly. I got my people.
Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah. And also, like, something that an audience often forget is that I see them. Like, if they see me, I see them the same size. So, like, everybody's dancing in the back. Like, I'm with you. Yes.
Is this me or is that?
Yeah, it's. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're stepping on me.
Oh, you take turns.
Well, yeah, we share the wealth.
We try. I mean, it's also a normal conversation as well.
Yeah.
Well, your new album, Sway, isn't out until May 4th, but are you playing any unreleased music on the Lorde tour, I assume, maybe?
I am.
Aha.
Yeah, so if people come and watch these shows, they get a little preview. What's to come?
What are you playing? Any specific songs?
I play the title track.
Oh, cool. Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It works really good on a stage. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I almost get goosebumps when I think about it.
And, I mean, so we've heard Changed My Mind so far. That came out last month.
Yes.
And now people who get to see the Lorde show get to hear Sway. Can you kind of give us an idea of what the vibe of the, like, the sound of the album is going to be?
Well, it's very, like, some songs, like Sway, for instance, they're very, very, very romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Like little love stories. And some of them are almost anti-romantic in a way. Like... they're more like just like cheeky fun, like Say My Name, for instance, or like Change My Mind. Is that like tipsiness sort of that vibe?
I like that description. That's a good one.
That answers another question, actually, because I was gonna ask if Say My Name will be on the album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Say My Name was the first release from that, like, belongs to this album,
and that's gotten such a huge response. You know, I feel like, did you kind of sense that more people were picking up and hearing your music after that came out?
Yeah, I mean, like, the release of that song was very special. I mean, I got that Rolling Stone, like, top 12 thing. That was crazy. I got, like, Sam Smith, like, Instagrammed about it. Like, just like, it was so crazy. And around that time, I got this Lorde tour as well. And, like, Jack Antonoff started messaging me. And I'm like, what is this?
And then you toured with the Bleachers after that, right?
I was supposed to. Oh, okay. And I was so heartbroken because I had to cancel to finish the album.
Oh, well, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
I'm sure he understood.
Yeah, we're fine. He seems fine with things.
Is there a song on the album that you're particularly excited for your fans to hear that, you know, isn't out yet?
I'm very excited for the song called On the Low. That, like, it's very hard for me to pick a favorite out of these songs. I spent ages on every track, and I loved them all so much. They're like my little children. but that one, it's like, it's almost like that's the heart of the album. That was one of the first songs we made, and it's just very pure in a way. Yeah.
In addition to the Lord Tour, you're also joining Katy Perry.
I know, it's so crazy. I can't be quiet when you say that. It sounds insane to me.
Yeah, you'll be opening for Katy Perry. You'll be touring with Katy Perry.
No big deal. That's I'm so casual about this. Yes.
Have you already started preparing for the tour, or is the or is the preparation kind of what you're doing with Lord already? Is it kind of the same thing, or?
I mean, I'm definitely going to take a lot of the things that I've learned through this tour with me on the Katy tour.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some differences, like, because, like, the set is going to be a little bit longer.
Oh,
I'm the only support act. Mm. Like the setup with the lights and stuff, like technical things.
Right.
It's going to be a little bit different.
Do you have to, like, change up the set list at all just because it's a different kind of audience, maybe? Or maybe, I mean, I guess there's a lot of crossover between Katy and Lord, mm-hmm. but then Katy is, like, very vigorously pop, 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 you know, dancey pop.
I know. I love that so much. I can't wait to get to be there and, like, dance to Teenage Dream. I love that song so much. The main thing is that I'm gonna be able to do more songs,
yeah.
and by the time I do the Katy tour, the album will be out.
Perfect.
So yeah. there won't be any unreleased material then.
Yeah. Mm.
And that feels pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Mm.
Totally.
And with all these amazing tour mates, Lord and Katy, and obviously Run
yes,
the Jewels.
Yes, my best tour mates.
Right. And Run the Jewels are on the Lord tour as well.
Yes.
Have you ever talked to any of them about maybe making some music together? You guys are all songwriters.
I was like thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, okay, this is actually work. I should be like smart and actually bring it up because we're hanging. Like, I'm meeting these people. These amazing people
right.
every day that I look up to. Like, I'm stupid if I don't say ask for something.
Okay, but this we'll is see. Us prompting
we'll
you
see.
To ask.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, how do
keep
you
keep pushing me? I might do it.
It's like, how do you casually ask? Like, hey, so we're all just hanging out. Did you want to work on music together?
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
LP, do you want to like?
I mean these things happen. I mean, you hear of crazier collaborations
oh, yeah.
where it's like someone met on a red carpet and they exchange numbers and then it turns into a collaboration months later.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Well, reading up on your upbringing in Sweden, we learned that your dad is a musician and your mom is a ballet teacher.
Internet lies all the time. For a long time, the internet claimed that I was a model.
Oh, you could be.
You could be.
I mean.
Thank you. But they were wrong. And it also stated, like, different publications I had appeared in. Mm. I'm like, but this is false.
Wow.
Okay, we can set the record
this
straight right now.
She's not really a ballet teacher.
My mom, she used to work at, she's been working at a dance studio for like my whole upbringing. So I grew up around a lot of music and dance. And my dad also like worked in a music store. So like instruments was always available.
Ah.
If we wanted to have them at home, yeah.
So did you play a lot of instruments growing up then?
I mean, like, my dad tried to inspire me. But I mean, I've always just been singing and then done what I've had to just do that. So, like, bang the piano, learn everything and see, you know.
Did they play a lot of music around the house? Like, did they have favorite artists that they listened to?
I mean, not a lot, because both of them worked in, like, very noisy environments.
So they just wanted quiet when they got home?
At home, yeah, yeah. But one thing that I realize now is, like, it's something that I haven't thought about, that I experienced when I grew up, that most people probably don't. Like, I've seen so many things on stage. with my mom doing what she does.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen so many dance performances.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm like, I have, like, an eye for that. And I know dance, even though I'm not a dancer. But I've really grown up in that world. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a good thing to have.
Yeah.
In this biz.
It probably, like, if nothing else, made you just, like, an artist, you know? Like, and being around art, different kinds of performing arts and all that.
Yeah, like, everything adds up.
Yeah. Were there any musicians in Sweden that you looked up to when you were growing up?
I mean, Robin, obviously. Yeah. I loved ABBA when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I still love them. Like,
it's the ultimate.
They're ABBA.
Have you been to the ABBA Museum in Stockholm?
Yeah.
He went.
I went.
Last year? Awesome. Last year?
Well, I think it was last year. Yeah.
Did you do that thing where you can try and mix their songs?
No. I didn't do the hologram thing either. I didn't want to get in stage in front of a bunch of people. It was awkward.
I'm just asking you because I wanted to tell you that I got, like, the full score. I got it completely right.
Oh. This is why you're a musician.
Yes.
I got good ears.
Oh, that's incredible. Thank you so much for coming in today. We are very excited about this album and can't wait to hear it. And hopefully you'll come back and talk to us after it's out so we can talk all about the music.
I really want to do that. Can we do that? Let's decide. Yeah.
This is happening.
Yes. See ya.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Tova for coming into the office. I hope I'm not butchering her name, although she gave me her blessing, as you'll hear in the interview, I said it, like, pretty well. Like, I said it serviceably.
I mean, we could be saying, like, Tove Strike.
Yeah, she said as long as you get, like, two syllables in each of the words, then you're already, like, ahead of the curve.
Tuva Strukta.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's
Tova, yeah.
We're still probably mangling it.
But definitely give the new album a listen. It is amazing. And for all those European listeners out there, check her out on tour with Katy Perry.
Yeah, bonus. And now...
Page turn.
As you hear the ruffling of the pages, not that we've written any notes or anything, it's time for the chart stat of the week. This week, in 1976, one of only four TV show theme songs hit number one on the Hot 100 topped the chart, as John Sebastian's Welcome Back from Welcome Back, Kotter topped the list.
Love that song.
The track from the TV show that made John Travolta a breakout star spent 1 week atop the list, dated May 8th, 1976. What are the other three TV themes to hit number one? You'll honestly probably never guess them.
Thank you for not making this a quiz, Katie.
Yeah, not even going to make Katie guess here because she's not going to get any of them. I'll just tell you what they are.
I think I could have gotten one.
Yeah, well, yes. And actually, another one of these we actually had as a chart side of the week a while back, like last year. Earlier in 1976, Rhythm Heritage's theme from SWAT topped the list. Then, of course, we had Welcome Back. And then in 1985, Jan Hammer's Miami Vice theme hit number one, which is probably the song Katie would have guessed.
That is the one I could have guessed.
And then finally, in 1992, which was the last TV theme song to hit number one, and it's by a TV show no one remembers, The Heights, How Do You Talk to an Angel, hit number one. And it was, of course, from the TV show called The Heights. So there you have it. This week in Back to 1976, John Sebastian's Welcome Back became the second of only four TV show theme songs to hit number one on the Hot 100. Funny, you know, like the songs that you thought, like TV theme songs that you thought would have been number one.
Friends,
like
Rembrandt.
The Friends theme. Yeah. I mean, that was top 10.
Huge hit.
Bad Boys from Cops was a top 10 hit, I believe.
I love that was a top 10.
Yeah. What you gonna do? And even, you know, things that you wouldn't have necessarily thought would have been hits were, like, the Young and the Restless theme was a huge hit.
Like, back in the days of, like, the Luke and Laura wedding and whatnot, like, late 70s, early 80s?
That was General Hospital.
Oh, wrong soap.
It's okay.
Man, what is the Young and the Restless theme? Is it the...
Da-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-bum-bum-bum.
Is it the one that's sampled in Mary J. Blige's No More Drama? There we go. That's the one I
am. I was like, I am not doing this justice.
You were. Once you got to the strings, I'm like, oh, that's the Mary J.
And even stuff like, you know, I think even like the Dynasty theme song charted back in the 80s.
I love that.
Like, that means back in the day, people went out and bought a 45 vinyl single of a soap opera theme song.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Isn't that amazing?
Instrumentals were a bigger deal back then, too.
Yeah.
Like, well, even Miami Vice. Like, that's crazy.
Also, in general, I mean, do most TV shows even have a theme song that's, like, even recognizable anymore? Not so much.
Not really. I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, I'm trying to think of some, like, favorite current ones, and I'm struggling, if I'm being honest.
And if anything, they're, like, you know, like, 25-second, like, instrumental with no singing or something.
Yeah,
it's just not the same.
It's not the same.
All right. Well, any parting words, Katie?
Oh, man. Nope.
What song should we go out on?
It feels like a TV theme after that conversation.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, I have a favorite, but it's, I feel like, a little esoteric. Do you have a favorite that's a little, like, crowd-friendly?
I mean, I had an esoteric one. I was going to say, like, The Facts of Life.
Oh, that's great. Let's do that. I love that song.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. There's a time you gotta go and show you grow.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.